Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class, and happy Mother's Day to all you dear ladies in the Conqueror Sunday School class. You know, today is a special day. It's not just the Lord's Day, but it's Mother's Day. And I want to encourage each of you that can be able to be at church today at 10:45 to be here. And then after service today, we're going to honor the mothers. We're going to have a chocolate bar for each one of you. Amen. A Hershey's chocolate bar. I remember last year we were doing this outside, and folks are not able to be here and be inside for this. But this year, we're going to have the chocolate bars there for you outside the auditorium right after the service. And ladies, I hope that you'll be able to come and get your chocolate bar, and you can celebrate Mother's Day here in a special way. Every lady likes chocolate, amen? And that should be a blessing to each of you. So ladies, again, we want to say happy Mother's Day to you today, and we thank you for joining us for our online Conqueror's Sunday School class lessons. Today's lesson is lesson number 3 in our Comeback God's Providence in Motion series. Today's lesson is entitled Just When Everything Was Going So Well. And it'll be taken from Ezra chapter 4. This lesson is for Sunday, May the 9th, 2021, Mother's Day Sunday. Today's lesson theme verse is found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, where the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Folks, I want to ask you a question today. Is it well with your soul concerning God's plan for your life today? Is it well with your soul today concerning God's plan for your life? From the very first verse found in the Word of God to the very last verse found in the book of Revelation, we see that God has a plan and that He is in charge of that plan. Aren't you glad for that? But you know, so many times we still forget that God is in charge of things, do we not? It is God who has created us. It is God who has saved us. It is God who has given us the command to go and tell. And honey, it is God who has ordained and called us as His dear children to do the work that needs to be done in this lost, sin-darkened world, and that He has commanded His children to do. But secondly, I want you to remember that there is an adversary that desires only to hinder and to slow down and even cease the work and plan of God from happening in your life personally and within the world in which we live. The Bible teaches us here in our theme verse for today, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that this adversary of God and the adversary of every child of God is none other than the devil, Satan himself. And this adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus described the character and the attributes of the devil in John chapter 8, verse 44, when he stated, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You and I, as born-again, blood-washed children of God, need to first of all be aware of the devil's plan of intent to disrupt and to discourage and eventually to destroy both the workers of God as well as the work of God from being accomplished. But then we also need to beware his deceptive ways and his devilish compadres so that we do not allow either him, the devil, or them, his devilish disciples, to cause us to compromise our testimony for God or the godly principles and biblical standards that we've been given for living from day to day by God. But then thirdly, I want you to understand too that we as God's children, we need to remember the fact that as John stated in 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, that we are of God. Listen to what John said. He said, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, the Lord has made us to be more than conquerors through him that loved us, even as our class theme verse says in Romans 8, verse 37. And as conquerors, we need to live each day of each year with the remembrance that with God, all things are indeed possible. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So folks, keep the faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the word of God in your heart, a smile upon your face, a track in one hand, and a trowel in the other hand. And let's just be found faithful to do for God that which he has saved us to do. We need to determine to keep a good testimony for the one who has saved us before all those around us who are lost. And we need to be willing to share the truth of the gospel with everyone that we see and everyone that we meet and everyone that we come in contact each and every day of our lives. In other words, don't allow the devil to distract you, dear child of God, from accomplishing what God has set before us to accomplish. We've got to determine that we're not going to be distracted by the devil. You know, we're admonished in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. These are choices, folks, choices that only you and I, as saved, born-again children of God, can make. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, may that be said of you, and may it be said of me today as we are found faithful to serve the Lord. Can I say today, I have fought a good fight? Can I say that I have finished my course? I have kept the faith? Can you and I truly say that we have indeed run with patience the race that has been set before us? Because as we read in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, we are to glory in tribulations also. Some folks come back and say, well, the devil just fights me so much that I can't get anything done for God. But honey, listen, we are to glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The fact is, folks, everyone needs to know, and everybody ought to know how to be saved, but they will never know unless you and I are found faithful to go and tell them, both in the good times as well as in the bad times. My prayer this morning is that this lesson will help each of us to both see and understand that God does indeed have a plan, and that each of us, as his dear children, are included in that plan to build up the walls of spiritual protection and godly biblical standards. And no matter what comes our way from day to day, we must make up our hearts as well as our minds so as to determine to stay on track with God each and every day, starting today. Let's determine to stay true to God's plan and go tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we do that today? You know, the difference that you and I choose to make, either to go or not to go, can and will make the difference in someone's life. And that difference can and will be an eternal one. So now, with all that said, let's take a look at our lesson this morning that's entitled, Just When Everything Was Going So Well. And let's just see how the devil does indeed try to disrupt the plan of God that takes place in our hearts and our lives, for all those who will choose to live for him and serve him faithfully from day to day. Let's look at the lesson. If you're online, please go and download the lesson outline there. You can print it out. You can scan through it there and just go through it as we're teaching a lesson. But let's look at this lesson just when everything was going so well. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. But you know, for every opportunity God gave unto the Apostle Paul to serve him and to see folks saved, the devil had a plan to disrupt those opportunities with so many adversarial attacks against him and against his work for the Lord. Boy, have we not seen that in our own church family and in our many ministry opportunities that God has so abundantly bestowed upon us in our day as well? You know, the devil does not like what we do for the Lord. You and I need to understand today, and we need to understand ahead of time, that there are indeed going to be both expected as well as unexpected oppositions and attacks, persecutions, heartaches, and problems that will arise and come face to face with all those who love the Lord and who commit themselves to faithful service unto the Lord. In our lesson this morning, we're going to see how this fact was true even with the children of Israel, as they now had determined to rebuild the walls and the city of their beloved Jerusalem. And it would be the same way in your life and in my life today as we work to win our lost world to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then help those who get saved to rebuild the walls in their lives that Satan has knocked down and so tragically destroyed. Satan's ultimate plan to rob and to steal and to kill and destroy has never changed, folks, nor will those plans ever change in his work against God and against the children of God. And in our lesson today, we're going to see how that Satan used Israel's adversaries to launch at least three weapons against them that are still so often used against you and me in our work for the Lord today as well. Those weapons first begin with, number one, deception. Deception. Look at it here with me in Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Deception. Point number A, deception was a weapon that was used and practiced by many of Israel's enemies. Look at Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Here we so plainly read, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither." Now, folks, when the enemies of the children of God hear anything that should be good news with God, they will always be upset about it, and they will always hear about it. But I want you to notice here that the devil's devices and his tools of destruction always begin with deception. It was that way in the Garden of Eden, was it not, when Satan first deceived Eve? And deception has remained one of the devil's greatest tools of destruction ever since that day. Note here in these verses how the deception was first portrayed to those Jewish leaders. Look at it. First of all, it was portrayed as a symbol of religious unity. Folks, beware of religious unity. Look what the Bible said. "Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you." Folks, be careful of religious unity. Everything that names God is not of God. But then I want you to notice also that deception here was portrayed as a symbol of oneness in their vision of the God of Israel. Look what they said. "For we seek your God as you do." And then thirdly, it was portrayed as a symbol of their worship of the God of Israel. Look what they said. "And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither." But what they did not tell them was that they were actually descendants of the original pagan and idolatrous people who had been placed there in the land many years prior, and that they had done what God said not to do. They mixed in with the children of Israel, and they married their pagan sons and their pagan daughters to the sons and the daughters of the children of Israel, which God had already told them not to do. Take just a moment here with me, and I want you to turn to a scripture passage in 2 Kings. Turn with me here to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 20 through 41. And I want you to read with me here what the Bible said. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 20 through 41, the Bible said, "And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests, whom they had carried away from Samaria, came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own." Can you imagine, folks? "Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tertok, and the Sepharvaites burned their children in fire to Adramelech, the gods of the Sepharvaim. So they feared Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Samaria. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant, and charged them, saying, Ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. And the statutes, and the ordinances, and the law, and the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. And isn't this the same thing we see in our world today? Folks are turning away from God. They've forgotten God, and they're living in the pleasures of their own ungodly lusts and desires. But you know what? I praise God, because look at verse number 3. Their deception was perceived by Israel's leaders. These men came to deceive the leaders in Israel, but God gave these leaders holy perception. That's all I can call it, just holy perception. Look at it with me here in verse number 3, Ezra chapter 4, verse number 3. The Bible said, "But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us." Thanks be unto God for those men of God who could see through Satan's deceptive messengers of peace and unity and brotherhood. And folks, they took a stand against it. Amen. Satan did not want the temple of the Lord to be rebuilt, nor did he want Jerusalem to be restored for the people of God. And so Satan used his people to try to deceive and to hinder the work of God in ever being accomplished by the people of God. And again, we see how that Satan's tricks to disrupt and to discourage and to destroy God's plans have not changed through the years. We see that, do we not? Listen, the Apostle Paul described these deceivers in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13, 14, and 15. Listen to what he wrote. He said, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And today, folks, when we see these deceptive servants of Satan himself coming our way and asking us to yoke up with them or to allow them to come in and help us build our church, may we also have both the spiritual discernment as well as godly boldness of the Holy Spirit of God within us to stand up and say to these people, "Thanks, but no thanks. Ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God." Folks, as our pastor always says, stay in the book. Stay in the book, folks, and allow the book to stay in you so that you'll always be able to recognize these vicious deceivers when they come your way. But not only did the devil use deception to cause the work of God to cease, but he also used, point number 2, discouragement. Satan always starts out with deception, and then deception leads only to discouragement. Look at Ezra chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Let me ask you this first of all, folks. What is discouragement? And what does it actually mean to discourage someone? Well, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary, and the dictionary describes discouragement as the act of discouraging or depriving one of courage or confidence, to dishearten, to hinder by disfavoring, to dissuade or attempt to dissuade from doing something. And because the enemies of God's people did not like the answer they were given when deception was perceived, they now attack the people of God through discouragement. And I want you to see in these verses how their attack was well planned. Look at it. Verse 4 and 5, Ezra chapter 4. "Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose." Folks, it was the intention of these adversaries of the people of God to ruin this building project and to not only weaken the hands of God's people, but to also weaken the hearts of God's people. Again, when the adversary sets out to discourage someone, it means he is trying to make someone less determined, less hopeful, less confident, and less likely to accomplish the goals that they have set forth in their life to do. It means the devil desires to try to make someone no longer want to do something that they once desired to do. And isn't that exactly what the devil is still doing today as well? Folks, every time we go out to sow the good seed of the Word of God in someone's life, the devil and his crowd is always there to hinder and to discourage them by sowing in the bad seed of discord, of doubt, and discouragement. And not only was there an attack well planned, but look at verse number 5, where we see that it was also persistent. In other words, they didn't give up. These adversaries of God did not give up. Notice how that verse goes on to say that they troubled them in building, and they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Listen, folks, the devil and his crowd are, if nothing else in this life, persistent. That word persistent means always continuing to do something or to try to do something, even though it may be difficult or whether other people would want you to stop. It means to go the extra mile. It means to continue beyond the normal stopping point. It means to never stop or go away. And boy, that sure describes the devil today, does it not? The devil is doing all that he can. Why? Because he knows his days are short, and he knows that he cannot have his way with God. And the devil is basically saying, well, if I cannot have what I want, then I want to make sure that nobody else has it either. And if I've got to spend eternity in hell, then I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. And that is exactly what the devil is doing today, folks. He's trying to take people to hell through deception, through discouragement, and he is persistent about it. But let me ask you something today. Why shouldn't that word also describe Christians and the work of God that we have been commanded to do for our Lord Jesus Christ as well? Why is it that Satan and his crowd are so often more persistent than you and I are as born-again children of God? Why is that? Why is it that when the trouble sometimes come, we see so many so-called Christians and leaders and lovers of God quitting on God every time you turn around today, instead of just buckling down and being persistent and in actually doing something like what they say they believe they ought to be doing? With so many so-called Christians as they claim to be in our churches today, why are we not accomplishing more for the cause of Christ than we ever have before? I'll tell you why. It's because Satan's emissaries are more persistent and far more faithful in what they believe than God's emissaries are in doing what they simply say they believe. It's because the devil's crew is more empowered by their beliefs in their false god than you and I, as born-again believers, are willing to be empowered by our true and living God today. Now, that's sad, folks, but it's a fact. We quench the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, do we not? And we constantly say no to God when he commands us in his word to live for him or to do something great for him or to tell others about him. And we allow the discouragements of Satan and the persistence of Satan to work on us without our ever truly seeking the power of God to resist those things in our lives, and without ever putting forth a real effort to get into the Word of God and to put on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand faithfully for the one who loved us and who has saved us from eternal death and hell. And folks, as you read in these passages, you're going to see how that year in and year out, the devil's crowd did all they could to not only deceive, but to discourage God's people from accomplishing the work that God had set before them to do. For the rest of King Cyrus' reign, and even into the reign of King Darius, some 15 years later, can you imagine? And if that were not good enough, the devil then threw in his card of dishonesty. Look at it. Point number 3, dishonesty among the people around them, even as we read here in verses 6 through 24. Look at it with me. Ezra chapter 4, verses 6 through 24. Satan did this through trumped up charges against the people of God. He used trumped up charges against the people of God. He accused them of things that they knew they were not doing. Now look at this. Verses 6 through 16. In Ezra chapter 4, verse 6, let's begin there. In the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, some 50 years later, when yet another king reigns over the region, the devil is still busy trying to stop the work of the Lord God of Israel. False accusations and lies were now put into the form of a letter, and it was sent to the king so as to stir up even more dissension and more deception, and yet even more overall discouragement among the people of God in getting that work done that God had so ordained and commanded them to do. Satan used this method of discouragement as well as dishonesty, even as he did with the Apostle Paul and with the other disciples as well. And even today, we see this devilish method used in our world against the righteous on almost a daily basis in the news, do we not? I'm not going to take time this morning to read all these verses from verses 7 down to 16, but I do want to read these verses in verses 17 through 24. The Bible said here, "Then sent the king an answer unto Rehum, the chancellor, and to Shimshai, the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which ye sent unto us hath been plainly read before me. And I commanded, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings?" Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and they made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. These wicked men, Rehum and Shimshai, had not only been dishonest in their accusations against God's people, but they did everything within their power to ruin the testimony of God's people with the nations and kings around them through this letter. And sadly, because of the bad testimony that the children of Israel already had for God while living in the land that God had given unto them, this king, after searching the records, had to agree with Rehum and Shimshai that the children of Israel, even as he wrote back to them and said, beginning in verse 18, "The letter which ye sent unto us hath been plainly read before me, and I commanded, and search had been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein." Folks, the sad consequences are seen in the remaining verses of this chapter where we read these words. "Now, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the Lord." Then ceased, look at what it said, "the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia." What a sad consequence for rebellion and sin which happened among the people of Israel so long ago. Now, I want to take this moment right now and go back with you to Ezra chapter 4. And we're going to begin here in verse number 7. And I want us to read what the accusations were. I just think you need to see this. I wasn't going to take the time to do it, but I think I will. We're going to begin here in Ezra chapter 4, verse 7. And the Bible said, "And in the days of Artaxerxes wrote Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabil, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. Then wrote Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Danites, and the Aphrasathites, and the Tarpalites, and the Aphrasites, the Archivites, the Babylonians, the Susashites, and the Dehavites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Asnapar brought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on the side the river, this side the river, and at such a time. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto them, unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king. Thy servants, the men on this side the river, and at such a time. Be it known unto the king, that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king, that if this city be builded, and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so shalt thou in damage the revenue of the kings. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. We certify the king, if this city be builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side the river." Now, folks, this was a false accusation, but they still mixed truth with falsehood. Jerusalem had been a rebellious city unto God. They had rebelled against the God of their fathers. They had done those things which were not right in the eyes of God. And now their testimony was bad spoken. It was brought against them, and it was shown that they were not living the way they ought to live. Folks, listen to me. Sin always destroys. Folks, I guess the moral of this story is twofold. Number one is be sure that your sin will find you out. But moral number two is that sin always leaves scars. Sin always leaves scars. But praise be unto God, because we also learn in this story that God is still in control of things. Amen? And if we will simply trust and obey Him, He will indeed see us through those difficult times of deception and discouragement and even dishonesty which are displayed toward us by those who remember only our past. Folks, aren't you glad God puts all our past behind His back and that He casts our sin into the depths of the seas, removing them from His view as far as the east is from the west, even as we read last week in the Word of God? Folks, we may never be able to remove the scars that sin always leaves in our lives before we're saved, but we can certainly keep them from being seen by living for the Lord God and by letting folks around us know that there is indeed forgiveness with God when we truly repent of our sin and we humbly seek God's wisdom and guidance for our present and future days. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that even when the devil seems to fight the most in our lives, God still has a plan to finish the work that He has begun in our lives. Child of God, never forget the words of the Apostle Paul found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, where he said this. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But, oh, thank God for this. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Child of God, live for God and rest assured that God does indeed have a plan for your life. And He established that plan when He saved you. Now, you just need to be willing to trust and obey Him in all that you do. And then perhaps you're here today and you're listening to the sound of my voice and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. My friend, you are missing out on one of the greatest blessings that the Lord God could ever give a lost soul. Today, you need to come to God and confess your sin unto Him. Humble yourself before God and call upon Him and ask Him to save you. Allow Him to forgive you of not only your past sins, but to give you a new and perfect plan for your life so that you can do something great for God. Listen, He wants to forgive you of those past sins. He wants to cover you with His precious blood, and He can do that if you will just allow Him. Won't you come to Him today? Won't you repent of your sin and simply place your faith and your trust in Him as your own personal Savior today? You'll be so glad that you did, because God is indeed worthy of all your trust in every situation today. Let's pray and we'll dismiss. Lord God, we love You today. And I thank You for the Word of God that shows us, God, that You are still in control of all things. And Lord, even though the devil may try his best to deceive us and to discourage us and to disrupt and destroy all that You have for us to do for You, God, You are still in control. And Lord, if we will just trust You, if we will just simply obey You, God, we can still get the victory and we can still accomplish what You've set for us to do in this life. Lord, I pray that You'll help our people today to become more than conquerors through Him that loved us and to know that You are still in control of things. Father, please bless them today. And Lord, if there be someone today that's never been saved, help them, dear God, to come to trust You today as their own personal Savior. Bless our dear mothers today, our grandmothers, Lord. I pray, God, as we honor them today on this special Mother's Day Sunday, I pray, dear God, that You'll help them to determine in their hearts they're going to live for You. They're going to teach their children, their grandchildren, to live for You. And they're going to set the right example before them so that they too can live faithfully for the One who has saved them. And God, we'll thank You for what You do. Now, we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for this lesson from our online Sunday school classes. Come Back, God's Providence in Motion is the series, and today's lesson was entitled Just When Everything Was Going So Well. Folks, expect the devil to fight, but listen, stay faithful to the One who has saved you. We hope to see you today in church. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. God bless you.